And welcome back to the episode of Getting Serious. Me, boy, Eli.
It's me, Joe.
And we're here to talk about the movie experience of the year. Yes, I'm overhyping it. It's Mario Brothers.
the Super Mario Brothers movie.
It's a me, Mario.
Yes.
We'll try to keep the Mario isms, I would say, to a little light today.
Yeah. Probably the last big video game movie, because I was gonna say, if we're gonna talk about big video game adaptations, then we obviously would be talking about The Last of Us. But yeah. I think
pretty good show.
But the last sort of big video game adaptation movie was Sonic 2.
Sonic 2, I think that was the biggest one. Last time.
So yeah, now Mario has returned to the cinemas after his last outing was not great in, the 90s
movie. Hey now. That was a fun movie, though. That was a fun bad movie.
I mean, yeah, but, like...
They finally gave us Mario's last name! It's Mario!
Yeah, that's why they're the Mario Brothers. Mario, and Luigi Mario.
That was such a funny thing. But yes, we are going to be talking about the new Mario Brothers movie. And we're also maybe talking about its reception. I think that's a very interesting note to talk about, if I'm being honest.
I guess, because I don't think the Mario movie, I mean, if we need to look at, review aggregators like Rotten Tomatoes, there's certainly an interesting divide between the critic score and the audience score, but... we'll get to it when we get to it. But yeah, no. The Mario Brothers movie made by Illumination, which I think at the time when this was announced, people were very skeptical because it's Illumination.
Yeah, I was very skeptical when I first heard it was Illumination. I was like, oh no.
Yeah, and if you don't know, it's because they're the guys behind Despicable Me, and more importantly, behind the creation of the Minions, which. If you've been on any social media platform, especially Facebook, it's like, Jesus Christ, leave me alone, you goddamn minions, you annoying little...
You hated them before they became hated.
Yeah, I think, not to be a hipster about it, but, the Minions have always been, very eh to me, and it kind of seems like Illumination has at least attempted to seem like they want to recreate stuff like the Minions again, because they did become like a major phenomenon. I think there still are a major phenomenon. Hell, there's like two Minions movies, which is just like, Jesus Christ, why do people like these annoying yellow things? But regardless, we'll just talk about the movie. We'll do our usual shtick, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think we talked about this on the way back after watching the movie, is that we usually expect an Illumination to play it really safe.
Yeah, and I think that's the main issue with, I think, for most people, is that a lot of Illumination movies kind of just play it safe.
Not to say that's a bad thing.
But,
when I heard Illumination making Mario, I'm like, oh, I can already see things are going to go down. The Toads are going to be like them new Minions. There's going to be insert pop song here and there. And then it's just going to be, annoyingly funny. Like, funny that kids could really like, but, like, for me...
For adults, since it's just, like... very childish. Yeah, I get it, yeah.
But I will say, there wasn't too much of that in this movie.
Yeah, which I guess shouldn't surprise most people, because Nintendo themselves were very involved in the making of this movie. I believe, back in years before the movie was even announced, when talking about, hey, will there ever be another Mario movie? And I think Miyamoto and I think some other Nintendo executives were very much of, if it were to happen, we would be,
We're going to be on their asses.
Yeah, we need final approvals on a lot of these things, right? Yeah.
Which may be the reason why some stuff happens the way that it happens.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, we will be talking about more of it. But first, as we tend to do, we give our 1 minute reviews. So Joey's gonna go start off with it off. Then I'll go first. A 1 minute review of the Mario movies. Joey, you go for it.
Alright, so the Super Mario Bros. Movie is, I think, a very good movie. Very solid, all things around. Visually looks fantastic. And I think it takes care of the Mario franchise very well. It's very respectful of it. Granted, I think part of that is because of Nintendo's huge involvement in with the making of the movie with Illumination. But overall, I think all the characters were solid. Any sort of references we see are very tasteful. I will admit there is a little bit of like weird like inserts of various pop songs that are kind of just like feel off for a movie like this. But overall, I think the plot was solid. I liked all the characters. Jack Black definitely steals the show as Bowser. And it was just a fun, you know, nice, fun sort of family movie that I think anyone can get into. And I think it shows promise to, you know, Nintendo's future outings in the movie industry.
I agree. So now it's my turn. All right. The Super Mario Brothers movie is a really good movie. It exceeds expectations in the fact that you kind of thought it would be a lot worse. And we'll explain that in a minute. A lot of the characters are very likable. Chris Pratt does a very solid job. Obviously, as Joey says, Jack Black steals the show. Even though the plot, I feel, is kind of very simplistic, and then it's still able to bring us a very enjoyable film. And I'm not going to lie, I was laughing. I was very happy with a lot of stuff. As someone who grew up on Mario, this movie hit me in all the right spots. And in a way that wasn't so, like, offensive. Thankfully, you know, Nintendo being a part of it helps make the movie feel a little more, you know, respectful to the source material. And yeah, there's a bit of issues here and there, but nothing to make me go bad. So where do we start in sort of the more, I guess, let's start with some negatives, right? For me, one of the negatives is that the plot is very thin, paper thin. It's very simplistic. And I really hate saying that that's kind of a bad thing. Because for me, I don't mind if the plot is simplistic. And I think you and I have talked about this before, that oftentimes having a simplistic story is fine. Now, I'm not saying the story in of itself being simplistic is bad. I know earlier what I said, but what I'm saying is its execution is a little questionable.
No, I think for me, like, a story doesn't have to be this neat, like a super intellectual or deep, where that makes you think about stuff. It's nice when a movie is like that, where it's like you come out of the theater being like, oh, what does that all mean? Like, oh, what, you know, what is the effects of this or that and all that stuff? Like, it's nice when a movie can do that. But context, this is a movie that is, you know, a family movie. You know, it's not to say that
it's made to be entertaining.
Yeah, it's not to say that, like, because I know people like to make this sort of joke of, like, oh, kids media, you know, people will constantly make it as, like, dumbed down and all that stuff. And I'm not sort of, like, saying that I approve of that stuff. I think it is neat and good that there's, you know, we get, like, media directed to kids that isn't just coddling them or, like, isn't challenging them intellectually or whatever. But for what the Mario movie is and what the plot is, especially considering, you know, the idea of a Mario movie, which, you know, the plot of most Mario games is just, it's Mario having to save Princess Peach from Bowser. It's the most simplest of, like, video game stories out there. And, you know, for the most part, it kind of sticks to that sort of idea.
Yeah.
Granted, Peach isn't really in that damsel in distress role in this movie. It's very much, Luigi gets caught and, like, hey, listen, Mario's like, I gotta go save my brother. And, you know, it's sort of their interests align. Like, hey, Princess Peach wants to stop Bowser because, you know, he's gonna start trying to control the world. Mario needs to help his brother who's been captured by Bowser. All right, those interests are aligned. They're gonna work together.
Mm-hmm.
That sort of thing, right?
And that's where I'm saying where I feel like the execution is a little off because everything happens at a breakneck speed at some point.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there, I feel like this movie really needed a moment to, like, okay, sit down. Let's go through this in a slower path. And just to clarify, guys, this is like an hour and a half movie. Things go fast.
Yeah, like, I think I was mentioning this after we came out of the theater. I'm like, yeah, no, I mean, it makes sense for it to be an hour and a half movie because, again, it's that sort of Illumination's game. They're an animation studio that makes movies for kids and, mm-hmm. and families and stuff. And those sort of movies are an hour and a half long. I mean, but at the same time, I can get what you're saying, that the pacing just feels very rushed. Because when I think back to other movies that are, I guess, of the similar demographic, like, Tangled is, I think, like an hour and a half long. It doesn't feel like an hour and a half long. It feels nice and evenly paced throughout. Mm-hmm. Same thing with, like, I think most Disney movies and a lot of other, like, movies like DreamWorks stuff that is, like, in that area of, like, an hour and a half. You know, it's like, okay, these don't feel that rushed to me. Like, if I was to watch the original Shrek, mm-hmm. which I know for a fact is, like, at least an hour and a half long, I don't think I would have been like, well, that movie was fast. I'm pretty sure I would be looking at it as like, oh no, this movie, this was evenly paced out throughout the movie, evenly paced. I think scenes are allowed to breathe. You have the action scenes that hype up stuff, that sort of thing. And I think I feel in the starting of the plot, when they get to the Mushroom Kingdom, I can kind of see where you're coming from in terms of like, oh, wow, this feels real rushed.
Mm-hmm.
Because there is, like, once Mario gets there, it's kind of like, they kind of move fast.
Mm-hmm.
Which is like, okay, all right, I can kind of see what you mean by, like, very sort of rush pacing.
Yeah, and it makes sense because, like, it's like, okay, oh, you look at the thing? Okay, let me see if you're ready. And then it's like, a montage is done, and it's like, the implication of the montage took, a day.
Mm-hmm.
But it was, montage, shorten it, kind of stuff. And I don't know, I'd like to see a little more. And I think, considering how this movie, brought us the story, the visuals and all that stuff, I would have loved to see more. I was very invested into this. And that's what I'm saying about a simplistic story. A simplistic story can be you can be invested in a simplistic story. The story was very simplistic. And I'm fine with that. It's like you said, Mario is a very simplistic game. It's all about the platforming. If you can't do a Mario game with good platforming, then what are you doing? And the story usually for Mario games are very paper thin. I mean, unless you're maybe counting Paper Mario, because apparently those are very.
Yeah, you could argue. Yeah, it's very arguable that at least Paper Mario 1 and the Thousand Year Door. They're more RPG-style games,
mm-hmm.
so, that I think the Super Mario RPG, the one with the,
what's his name?
Yeah, what's his name that everybody wants to smash? That guy.
Yeah, that guy.
No, I know his name, it's
Gino.
Gino, yeah. I like to say that because, realistically, I mean, the people who asked for Gino probably didn't even play that game, weren't even alive for that game, just heard their favorite YouTuber say, I think Gino's a pretty cool character, He mm-hmm. should be in it. Or they never remember the interview with Sakurai being like, I thought about adding Gino in the game. It'd be kind of neat. But I didn't, so, it's whatever.
Screw you guys. But, like I said, the story is very engaging because, you understand everyone's wants and needs, and you want to see them, be fulfilled. Mario wants to save his brother because they established from the get-go, Mario's very protective of his brother. They're very close.
Yeah.
And you love to see that.
Yeah, I will admit that's probably one of the neat things that they give Mario and Luigi, that sort of, dynamic of, hey, listen, Mario's very, hey, listen, don't you mess with my brother. He's my brother, all right?
Mm-hmm.
And they sort of hammer home, listen, when we're together, we're unstoppable, bro. Mm-hmm. That's sort of, brotherly beautiful. Bond,
Love it.
Love it.
Princess Peach wants to stop Bowser.
Very, obviously, she's like, hey, these are my people,
mm-hmm.
I'm the princess, and I will do what's necessary to protect my people and stuff.
Yep. Bowser's motivations. Hilarious, I loved it!
Well, yeah, he's, they definitely lean into the sort of, the big motivation for Bowser, if you've played the Mario games or know about Mario,
if you basically play the lightest one, which is Odyssey.
Well, I mean, yeah, but it's kind of been a thing.
Yeah.
For Bowser a little bit, not just like wanting to rule the say Mushroom Kingdom and all the other kingdoms and stuff. Like he has like another thing that you know that a lot of people like. You know, they find fun.
Yeah.
Because it is an interesting, funny dynamic. I mean, this has been a thing since, I think, the when they made that Mario anime movie thing back in the 80s.
Oh, I remember. Yes.
Yeah, it's kind of been a thing, mm-hmm. you know, for Bowser's character, for him to have that motivation. But, you know, obviously seeing it taken up to 11 with Jack Black is very funny.
Yeah, no.
It kind of reminds me of the joke they do in Spaceballs. With
Helmet. You know, considering that one scene,
yeah,
it makes it even better.
yeah, there is one scene.
Oh my god, it's so good. Yes, I mean, like, yes, we're technically talking about a negative, but it's not a terrible negative if we're being honest. Because in reality, I feel like this movie just needed to be longer. It's a very simple story, and maybe a little longer would have made it a lot better, because the story does have a bit of a breakneck speed, but it's a story that you can follow with ease, and you're able to enjoy it as much as any other like animated film, especially for a family movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, and obviously, I guess we're gonna have to talk about Chris Pratt's role as Mario.
Yeah, which I mean, in general, the voice, you know, voice actors that they picked. I think everyone did a fine job. Mm-hmm. You know, obviously, I think we said before, Jack Black steals the show. Charlie Day as Luigi, I think, really worked. Oh my god, why am I forgetting her name?
Anna Taylor-Joy.
Yeah, Anna Taylor-Joy was a solid Princess Peach, you know.
Yeah.
For what it was. And of course, like, I think the big, controversy of the movie, you know, was that, hey, Chris Pratt is voicing Mario. And, you know, people were very skeptical of, like, okay, can he do a Mario voice? And then the trailer start coming out. It's like,
ooh.
I don't like this. And granted, I think the actors kind of know. Like, I think there's been interviews like, yeah, you know, that's probably, like, the biggest thing.
There was a moment where we said, like, go watch the movie, inform your opinion, which I think was a very, like, smart thing to say. Because coming out of the movie, I was like, he's fine. He's fine as Mario. Yeah, don't get me wrong, I would have much preferred Charles Manette over, you know, Chris Pratt, because that's the Mario.
Yeah, you know, it's like, if you're making an animated movie about Mario, why not just have the original Mario actor play Mario? And there's a lot of, like,
possible reasons.
Yeah, I mean, granted, I'm pretty sure the big two ones are either, one, the studio just wanted marketable actors, which is, like, kind of the thing with a lot of anime movies.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a whole voice acting industry in the U.S. of very good, very talented voice actors that know the craft, that can do good voice acting. It's just that, you know, if you don't have, like, those sort of big celebrity guests, or big celebrity voice actors, or actors doing voices, you know, a lot of, like, film studios don't see it as marketable. I mean, look what happened with the TMNT movie, the 2007 one. You had all the turtles being voiced by top-of-the-line actual voice actors.
Yeah, you had Nolan North, you had James Arnold Taylor,
mm-hmm.
and I forget the other two guys, but you also had Mako voicing Splinter. It was like one of his last roles before he passed away.
Mm-hmm.
And they were amazing.
And the only, like, I guess celebrity voice actor you could say was in that movie was Patrick Stewart. But Patrick Stewart, you know, he has done voice acting for various different things.
Yeah. He was in American Dad.
Yeah, he's the boss in American Dad, you know. Like, he I think has enough experience in that sort of role to do that stuff. But I mean, that movie was, you know, was kind of,
he wasn't in it that much too.
Yeah. The movie didn't do that well at the box office. And some people could argue it's because there wasn't a whole lot of, like, celebrities in it.
And it was also not marketed well.
And I think that's probably the bigger reason. It wasn't marketed well.
Yeah, because how are you going to market? Nolan North as Raphael. Who?
Yeah, it's sad, you know. It's probably the one thing where you can argue, like, yeah, Japan is able to market.
Yeah, their voice actors better.
Their voice actors better.
Than we can.
Yeah.
And that's a different conversation of itself. But for me, I think, you know, Chris Pratt did a great job. He was a solid choice. Because I think a lot of people tend to forget with voice acting is that are you able to emote through your voice? And he did a good job. That's basically what you're supposed to do. Is that we're so used to Charles Martin as Mario. He is still in the movie, and I like what they chose for him to do.
Yeah, like, I think he voices at least, I think, two characters. Mm-hmm. Like, you'll know when you hear him.
Oh, you'll know, especially when you hear him.
Yeah, so, you know, like you said, like, at least, you know, he's able to, like, contribute in, like, a very interesting way as a character, you know, voicing characters. But yeah, no, I think Chris Pratt did fine. I don't think mm-hmm. he was I don't think his performance ruins the movie.
No, it doesn't.
But it doesn't elevate the movie either. He did a fine job.
Yeah.
You know, like, he was solid enough as Mario. He was mm-hmm. able to do, you know, the wahoos and the, you know, his let's-a-go works well. If mm-hmm. anything, I'm just very, like, into the fact of how Italian they made them.
there's a joke there, and like, by joke I mean they made a joke of it in the movie, and I really like how that was done.
Yeah.
Oh my god. Also, I would say to go to more on the positive side, the music was so good. Not talking about the inserted pop songs,
because honestly, almost all of them are like. Like, the most, like, overused songs. Which sucks, because there's at least one or two of them, like, yeah, I like that song, but why do I have to hear it here? Come on.
Yeah. There's, like... The one that gets me, and I hate to say it, because I really like that song, is the Take On Me song. They had that in there.
Yeah.
And it's like, I'm like, why? You have access to Nintendo's library of music, right? And you could use any of them, and like the music that they, you know, I guess like did over was like you know the whoever they got to do the
orchestral versions, yeah, of these songs,
they, yeah, were really good.
Yeah,
and they weren't like, you know, generic epic sounding songs, right?
Like they fit
like the ending, like the credit song is, you know, it's very much like Mario. It's Mario, mm-hmm, this music. And it's a like a different rendition. And it's done so well. And I'm just like, yes, this is what I came for. Because for me, when I first heard the movie, I was like, I think it's going to be all right. And then I start hearing the music. I'm like, oh, I'll go for that music. And I was very happy to see like that music being done so well. The insert songs, I'm like, maybe there's like one or two I'm cool with. And thankfully they don't overstay their welcome as much as I thought they'd be.
Mm-hmm. Probably my favorite use. It is kind of interesting how
mm-hmm.
How often they show up. Like, heck, when they're doing the whole Mario Kart scene, like before they get there, like all like the music playing in the background, I'm pretty sure is like music that's used in like Mario Kart games.
Oh, it is. Yes, no.
Which I don't know. It's interesting that they mm-hmm. went that sort of far out. Although I'm pretty, like, I won't lie, like, it is kind of weird that you just have Mario Karts. Like, I get it. Mm-hmm. Mario Kart is, like, out of all the Mario spinoffs, Mario Kart is, like, the most popular behind it. But it's either that and Mario Party are the ones that tied in. Obviously, you can't make a Mario Party reference in this movie.
mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it's like, yeah, Mario Kart reference. Let's go with that, you know?
Yeah. And, okay, so, like, the references, Easter eggs, fan service, it's there. And I'm not going to lie, it's not as bad as most people would think it'd be. And I freaking loved it.
Yeah, because I don't really, I can't think of the last movie where it was based on a property.
Mm-hmm.
And it made a shit ton of Easter egg references and all that stuff.
Was that annoying? The only one that comes to mind is Spider-Verse. And that one, you know, a lot of the stuff was in the background. And this one is kind of... You're not going to get a lot of people who are going like, point and you'll miss it kind of stuff. It's like, no, it's there. We're going to just acknowledge it and we're going to move on. Mm-hmm. And that's just it. And kind of that same way I feel like Spider-Verse did. It's like, oh, look, here's the stuff. All right, we acknowledge it. We're walking the past. Like, they had a reference to Punch-Out. They had a reference to Kid Icarus. And so many other things. And I was so...
If you're a fan of old school, like, 80s NES Nintendo stuff, you'll notice.
You'll notice.
Yeah.
You'll notice. There was one I was like, wait, is that? Aw, you son of a gun. You got me. And, again, even the musical cues are like, references to stuff. There was a moment where, I'm not going to specify, but they do the...
Yeah, the underground sort of theme in Mario, you know, where you go into the pipe that goes underground and it plays the theme, yeah.
Yeah, they use that well.
Mm-hmm.
They use that well. And even the Bowser theme, that happens in from the original game,
mm-hmm.
that one that goes like, oh, how's it go again? I'm not going to try. No, I don't want to butcher it. But that's what I'm saying. Like a lot of there's a lot of like good use of references and good use of fan service in this. And that's why I would say, like, if you're a Mario fan, yeah, definitely watch this movie.
I think that's sort of the big thing, is that if you're a fan of the Mario games, I think you will enjoy this movie.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you're, like, a passing by, oh, yeah, I like playing Mario games as a kid, I think you'll probably be like, oh, yeah, no, this works. You know, this hits
all spots. I've seen a fair enough of adults that were, because, like, when we saw it, there was obviously families, kids. And I think aside from you and me, I think all the other adults were enjoying themselves.
No, yeah, I think so too. You know, yeah. It's very, like I said, it's aimed at all audiences.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like it really, you know, I think it hits like a lot of the buttons. Like this is probably like, I think best case scenario, this is probably the best case scenario out of an Illumination's Mario movie, you know?
Mm-hmm. Because like, it could have been so much more worse.
Yeah, we could have seen a lot more of, like, I guess, the Illumination tropes.
They really could have... And they're there, but they're not horrible.
Yeah, like, I think the only joke, like, there maybe are, like, only a couple jokes that I think you could be like, well, I mean, I guess why that's there. I think, off the top of my head... I won't say the Luma joke because I know that one's in the trailers. Because I actually think I kind of like that one. Because it's like, you know...
Especially the way they ended with it.
Yeah, like the nice little Luma, you know. You know, yeah. Like, they're cute and nice and like... You know, it's like, oh, I'm a nihilist. The only escape is death. Like, you know, cute things saying messed up stuff like that is pretty funny. And at least all the other characters are like, Jesus, shut up! I'm tired. Well, I'm already trapped in this prison already. You don't have to keep being, like, a nihilistic, you know...
No, we're all gonna die.
It's like, shut up. It's like, oh my god, leave me.
Just, can someone just kill him already? Please, I want the sweet embrace of death.
Yeah, you know.
Just like, oh my god.
So, you know, at least, like... I probably think that's the only reason why I'm not annoyed by that joke. But there are, like you said, there are a couple of Illumination sort of, I wouldn't say, like, details, but it's more of a...
Tropes?
Tropes, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, that's no, the word I'm looking for. There was a moment, and I'm like... Like, there's a certain thing, and it's... that reminded me of other Illumination movies, and I'm like, oh my god, this is designed exactly like those other things.
Yeah, I won't lie. If it's not, like... Because all the Mario characters themselves, heck, even, like, we do get to see Mario's family, Mario and Luigi's family, they all look like something that was designed by Nintendo.
Mm-hmm.
Like, but then you get, like, some of the other, heck, there's even some other characters as well that are like, okay, this doesn't feel like Illumination's design, but then there's, like, one sequence where we, like, meet some other characters, like, oh, that's
an Illumination design.
Yeah, no, that definitely looks like an Illumination to me.
Yeah.
It just feels, it's, like, the only one where it feels like the clashing of two styles, art styles, you know?
Yeah, and speaking of art styles, goddamn, is the animation in this movie gorgeous?
Yeah, like, I think that's the other thing, too. Like, normally you think about Illumination, and it's, like, not to say they aren't, like,
no, they're bad not looking. No, they're not bad looking.
On a scale of... say, Disney Pixar to bargain bin, straight to DVD animated movies, Illumination just hits the middle.
Yeah.
Again, like, not, they don't look, you know, like, They don't look like that Norma the North stuff, you know? Like, yeah. Just, like, awful, bad CGI that's done by people. Heck, I think they don't look like Hoodwink. Remember that movie?
I remember that movie.
I remember, like, looking back at it, like, holy shit, why does that look bad?
Why does it look so ugly?
Jesus Christ.
Why are their faces so emotionless?
Yeah.
But this,
how does this movie have Anne Hathaway in it?
How did it well, Patrick Wahlberg would be in anything.
Yeah, Patrick Wahlberg, he'll be in anything. He'll voice the phone book. You know, he'll read the phone book.
Yeah. But no, this one is like, it goes above and beyond normal elimination stuff. I'm thinking of like the Mario Kart scene where they're in the rainbow. There's moments where I swear, like there's a shift of colors. Mm-hmm. Like, yes, it's a rainbow, yes, but, like, on Mario, I mean, like, it's, like, it goes from light to dark real well because he moves around the rainbow.
Yeah, the rainbow.
And then
rainbow.
I'm like, oh, my God, it's so amazing. Even the composition is really well. Like there are moments where, like, and I'm thinking specifically for people who haven't seen the movie yet, that scene where Peach is, like, standing in front of, like, the giant flying Bowser castle. Where she's like, looks like she's like giving this like strong like pose of like defiance,
mm-hmm.
and yet how big the castle is compared to her.
I you could argue that you could take that scene and a lot of other scenes and use it as like computer wallpaper.
Exactly, there's a lot of that kind of stuff, and it just looks so good.
Mm-hmm.
I was really like amazed by just how much effort Illumination went. It kind of makes sense too, because how well done it is,
uh-huh.
And yeah, no, I would definitely watch. I mean, despite all that, you know, there's a lot of people, you know, talking about how the Rotten Tomato score about it, and obviously you're more of like, I don't really care about Rotten Tomato scores.
Yeah, I think, because I think that's sort of the other like big thing to come out of the movie is I think initial reviews, because this movie actually premiered on a Wednesday.
Yeah,
which is kind of weird for most movies.
Well, it's Easter weekend though.
Yeah, I guess, you know, it's like you want to get ahead of the Easter weekend. I guess I can understand that. But for the most part, like, yeah, you get early screenings on a Thursday, but for most places you release on a Friday.
Mm-hmm.
But regardless of that, we got reviews early and stuff, and of course people are gonna look at Rotten Tomatoes as the be all end all of all the critic scores and stuff. Which, by the way, Rotten Tomatoes, I think the reason why a lot of people don't like having to use it often is that it is an aggregator. So it's not like, oh yes, all the critics said this movie is a 40%, you know, on our Rotten Tomatoes scale. No, it's Rotten Tomato taking all of the reviews done by professional critics and compiling them all together to get an average rating.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's clearly reviews there that are like, oh yeah, no, this was a fun family experience. Really liked it, you know.
Yeah, because like before even the Rotten Tomato score dropped, I've been hearing online, I was like, oh my God, it's such a good movie. I mean, there's some problems, yes, but it's an enjoyable movie. And I'm like, oh my God, is it actually happening? And then, of course, the Rotten Tomatoes, and then that kind of like made people go like,
Where it's like, well, are we, you know, is it just super fans, Super Mario fans?
Yeah.
Super Mario super fans.
Yeah. There you go.
They're saying, oh, this movie's great. It's perfect, fantastic, love it. You know, like the diehard Nintendo fans saying that. And then the critics come out, it's like, actually, this movie's kind of pretty not that great. And it's like, well, what the fuck? But obviously, now that the movie's out and now that people have been posting reviews, because obviously that's the other thing about Rotten Tomatoes, you have the audience score. And the audience score is, like, I think in the 90s, like, 98 or something.
Yeah. No, I wouldn't say it's a perfect movie.
Yeah, I would, like I said, I wouldn't say it's a perfect movie either. But that's, I think, that's always been a thing about Rotten Tomatoes. Like, a lot of people like to weigh, like, a movie's, like, whether a movie's good enough off its Rotten Tomatoes score.
Mm-hmm.
And granted, like, it doesn't help that there are movies that will straight up say, oh, certified fresh on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah.
You know? This is how good our movie is, you know? And it's like, yeah, but I don't know. It's like, it's one of the things where, like, if you look at the score, you look at the score and you get a general idea out of it. Because, like, you obviously have to make your own mind off of, like, whatever movie or show, whatever is done. Because Because it just doesn't really seem to me like a good way of just like, oh, yes, I looked at Rotten Tomatoes. The movie said it was they said it was bad, therefore it is bad. And it's like, well, no, those are all a bunch of critics that have their reviews compiled together to get an average score. Like, you can't just say that, like, the critics said it was bad. You just have to say that there seems to be a fair majority of critics that saying that it was bad. You know, not all of them said it was bad, you know. Also, the other thing is just that, you know, like...
Yeah.
I think the other movies have had, like, similar, like, disparities between the audience score and the critic score. I mean, I think you can look at any friggin' DCEU movie from, like... Yeah. from the early beginnings of that universe.
Yeah.
Where it was, like, the critics' reviews were, like, mid... Or to bad.
Yeah.
While the audience scores were definitely, like, trying to push it up. And, like, no, the critics are... They're all bought by Disney, man. That's why they hate the DCEU. And it's like, no. No. It's just that Batman v Superman was really, really that bad. You have to... you have to understand.
Yeah. Yeah, just gotta understand that some of y'all just kind of hyped it up a little too much.
Or you just have bad taste in movies. Let's be real here.
Joe, your hatred for that movie is strong.
It's just not a good movie. Right?
I don't disagree. Yeah. Just because there's an extended cut that makes it better doesn't mean that doesn't...
But does it really make it better, though?
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Does it really make it better that I need to watch a longer version of your movie?
Yeah.
But anyway, but to the point, I think this is one of those movies where you kind of do have to form your opinion. I think there's a reason why, you know, there's such a high rating from, like, some people. Because, one, it does a lot of the, I wouldn't say nostalgia or fan service. It's very much, like, something that I feel you could enjoy as a family with kids or no kids kind of stuff. It's a very enjoyable movie.
Yeah, you could argue that this movie, even if, like, Nintendo was definitely involved with the making of the movie to make sure it was... you know, accurate and stuff. It still feels like a love letter to the Mario movie. Like,
yeah.
The franchise, you know?
Yeah, because, like, there's a lot of stuff that, you know, they didn't have to add, like, those motifs of, like, oh, you know, they went down the pole, like, doing the first in the games.
Or the various little song cues as well, you know, all that stuff.
Yeah, they didn't have to do that.
Or the various, like, little, like, animation nods, like, to how when Mario is running, he'll do, like, the arms out thing like he does in the games kind of thing. Like, they don't have to do all those details. Like, realistically, I don't think Nintendo would have cared if those details were in the movie or not.
Oh, no, they would have cared.
Well, maybe. Maybe Miyamoto would have cared. Like, yeah. Oh, no, this is not Mario.
That's not Mario.
But, yeah, you know, I assume this movie will do well.
It sounds like it's doing well.
Yeah, and we could potentially see a Mario sequel, which, I mean, that'd be interesting. Where they would go with that, you know?
Yeah, I think that's also I think that's kind of a bit of a concern I personally have. If we continue this, how are we going to do this, right?
I know there's a good contention of Nintendo fans out there that's like, yo, does this mean we can get a Super Mario, like a freaking Smash Bros. Like movie? It's like, for the love of God,
don't do that.
Just
don't, no.
No. The only Smash Bros. Game that has, like, an actual decent, actual, like, detailed story was Subspace Emissary and Brawl. And I don't think you can make a movie out of that.
No. But, I mean, that also, I guess, that leads into the question of whether or not Nintendo and Illumination will get together and do more Nintendo movies.
I mean, it depends on, like... if they want to. I know Nintendo and Universal have their whole little theme park deal.
Yeah.
I think that's part of the reason. I'm not saying, I don't think Universal owns Illumination. I could, but I think they own their theme park rights, and I think that's sort of how they got in there. But, I mean, that's if you want to make all the Nintendo properties like animated movies.
Mm-hmm.
Which, I mean, I guess could work. You could do an animated Zelda, although at the same time, Zelda could also easily work in live action.
I much prefer the animated.
I just want Link to say, well, excuse me, princess.
Fair enough. I'll let it slide.
You know, I need him to say that. I mean,
yeah.
You know, just to,
cause give me an animated Punch-Out movie that's basically Rocky.
Well, then just watch the original Rocky, though.
But then I can't get, you know, the din kind of stuff.
Well, I mean, I guess. I mean, here's a real question. Does he fight Mike Tyson in the end?
Oh, okay. That's a good question.
Yeah, that would be, you know, like...
Yeah.
Would Mike Tyson show up in that movie? Because, I mean, remember, in the original Punch-Out, it was Punch-Out, you know, Mike Tyson's Punch-Out. You know, he was the final boss.
Yeah.
Later editions, you know, since they lost the trademark, and, yeah. You know, I think Mike Tyson didn't want to give, you know, them the permission to use his likeness again.
Yeah.
It made him Mr. Dream.
Yep. And then there was, because originally it was Mr. Sandman that was the final boss. Because Mr. Sandman puts you to sleep.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah. Okay, that's the point. Anyways, I do think that this is a good movie. I think it's a very fun movie. A movie that you can take your kids, or not, however you like, and be able to enjoy it. There's a lot of stuff there to be enjoyed, despite it being kind of, the plot being a little fast in some areas. But it's a simple plot, and it's simple enough for you to enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, Jay, what would your rating be?
I would go with an 8 out of 10.
I agree. I would also put an 8 out of 10. It's not perfect, but it is an enjoyable movie that you can go and watch. I've known people that are saying, I'm going to watch it a second time, a third time. And I'm like, you know what? Yeah, I can totally see that. Especially for like some of the stuff that happens in the movie.
And you know, a lot of the other like Easter eggs that are probably hiding out there.
Yeah. There was a duck hunting Easter egg, and I couldn't help myself from not pointing it out.
Yeah, I won't wait. I was a little annoyed. Like, you don't have to point that out to me, man.
I'm sorry.
I can see.
Like, bitch, I got eyes too.
Yeah.
And then because there was that, there was a Punch Out one. There was some other. There might have been more, and we don't even know. Am I gonna watch?
No, we will now wait for the eventual. YouTube videos that explain all the hidden Easter eggs and details you missed in the Mario movie.
I'll watch that another day. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But yeah, no, Mario, it's an 8 out of 10. But if I'm going to say this right now, but if you're a Mario fan, this is a goddamn 10 out of 10, man. They do so much stuff that made me go, that made me smile. I sang along for a second. And I know you wanted to too, but I think you wanted the extended version of that song.
Yeah.
But anyway, but yeah, guys, go check out the Mario movie. If you enjoy what you heard, be sure to follow us on all social medias, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. And we're more active on Instagram, where you'll find links to all podcasts that we're officially part of, like Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Pandora, all the like. And be sure to support us on YouTube, where you can like, comment, subscribe. And our Patreon is down there just to help out. But anyways, guys, you have a good one. It's been me, your boy, Eli.
It's been me, Joe.
And you guys have a good day. Peace.